If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
720 WGN, you know him well, we all do. He is the elected mayor of Chicago, Brandon Johnson. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Lisa, thanks for having me back.
Okay, did you get any time during spring break with your kids to do something fun, or were you working every day?
You know, I'm embarrassed to admit I did work every day, but I am looking forward to the summer where we'll get a chance, and the fall, just get a little bit more time. I got a junior in high school. It's going to be a senior, and so we're planning some college tours and things of that nature. So we'll have a good time this summer.
Oh, that's fun. That always turns into a great time, you know, some one-on-one time, which is always fun. So you're going to Springfield. And this has to do with the budget. And, of course, you have assembled what is basically a budget committee, correct?
Yeah, it's a working group. It's a working group that's going to consist of business leaders, nonprofit leaders, civic organizations. We're going to have representatives from Chicago's labor community. And, of course, we're going to have city council members. And, you know, basically the task is I've directed my budget director to put together a comprehensive review of all of the city's operations and programs, assess their effectiveness and, of course, their impact, and take a deep look into ways in which we can make government more productive, ways in which we can generate revenue to continue to, make sure the investments in housing and education and behavioral mental health and workforce, that those possibilities can remain. But it's also an opportunity for us to take a deeper dive into the rising cost of pensions, particularly the pension debt that over the course of, you know, lots of years now, where the capacity of of our pensions have been greatly reduced. Now we're looking at 23% funded, which is, of course, very perilous. So it's an unprecedented approach, as I've described myself as commander-in-chief. And collaborator-in-chief, rather, to bring people together to address these critical issues and how we can build an economy that works for working people.
Kevin Wells is on the show today. Kevin, did you have a follow-up question for that? I know you were intrigued about that story.
I was just reading in the Tribune that a couple aldermen have kind of chosen to back out on this working group, Mayor. I was curious to hear if you heard about that yet, or if you had a plan to maybe replace a couple of those people who have backed out.
Well, we have not established the working group yet. There are some alders that are already a part of it. Of course, our finance and budget chair, these are stalwarts in the city council, who've been through these very perilous times over the course since, in some cases, going all the way back to 2003. Look, there are some individuals that will make a conscious decision to just sit on their hands and stay on the sidelines. I mean, that's their decision. As far as I'm concerned, the people of Chicago expect us to work hard every single day to solve these challenges, particularly at a time in which you have so much animus and disdain coming from the federal government. This is not the time to sit on their hands. This is the time where we actually hold hands together to make sure that there's an economy that works for working people.
Arlington Heights, the city of Arlington Heights, reportedly hired a consultant to the tune of $200,000 to move forward with their plan to snatch the Bears from the city of Chicago. I believe that you're going to get a deal done. I will stand here and say I will believe every fiber of my body hopes and prays that the Bears stay in Chicago. How confident are you that you can make that happen?
Well, you know, there's no politician in the state of Illinois that has worked harder and made a stronger commitment to make sure the Bears stay in the city of Chicago. Look, it's a historic franchise. I know the NFL wants to see the Bears stay in Chicago. I know that there's been a commitment from ownership to stay in the city of Chicago. You know, I'm going to continue to work to make sure that the $8 billion of income through the construction that takes place, the 43,000 regional jobs, 23,000 just for the city of Chicago. Here's what I've said from the very beginning, that we need an agreement that benefits the city of Chicago and that there's public use for it. Ownership is committed to paying for a stadium that the people of Chicago would own, and the type of economic activity that could take place at the lakefront is just one that is it's really remarkable of all the great potential. Just on a side note, we just received our numbers from 2024 of all the economic activity downtown, almost a 70% occupancy with our hotels. I mean, the revenue that we generated downtown in 2024 has gone back to pre-pandemic numbers. So people are coming to Chicago. They're coming downtown Chicago to spend money. And I believe the Bears play an incredible role in the reviving, if you will, of our lakefront and the entire region.
Mayor, there are a lot of headlines you can put under a mayor's tenure, but the one who lost the Bears isn't one that's going to be very successful, right? So you got to get this done.
Well, I mean, look, as I said before, you know, my, you know, priority is to keep the Bears in the city of Chicago. I've been having, you know, strong conversations with Kevin Warren, and we're going to continue to put together a package that I believe benefit the entire city of Chicago and the entire region. So that's going to require some support from other levels of government, but there is no, you know, there's no politician in the city of Chicago that has more of a drive to make sure that the Bears remain a Chicago team and not a suburban team, at least not in name.
Okay, so yesterday, Steve's daughter and his wife were at a nail salon in Chicago. ICE agents came in. He can tell you the story, but my question to follow up the story that he shares is, do you as mayor have any idea about the operations that are being carried out every day in the city of Chicago? Steve, tell him about what happened.
Yeah, actually, it was in the suburbs, Your Honor.
Okay.
But my wife and daughter were getting a manicure, and a couple people from Homeland Security came in. They showed badges to the owner, and they said, hey, we're here to help you. We know it's hard to discern whether an employee is an American or not. We've got this new software we'd like for you to use. And, you know, so there's buddy-buddy sort of thing, cooperation. And then they said, by the way, do you have any illegals working here? The woman said no. And they said, well, we've been told by someone that you do. And then, as I understand it, Your Honor, I wasn't there. My wife and daughter were pretty good reporters. The two left, and the work went on. And, you know, Lisa and I were talking about that, and I don't think that's the sort of thing that would have happened a year ago or so. And how often do you think it's happening in your neighborhoods?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, so, I'm not familiar with those type of operations, particularly outside of the city of Chicago. It's unfortunate, though, that type of activity is being carried on, particularly in business establishments. You know, here's what our policy has made very clear, you know, that police officers, other city workers, we do not dub as federal ICE agents. It's not their jobs, not their responsibility. We ask enough from our local law enforcement. And the reason why we do that, too, is to make sure that there's trust between local law enforcement and the community.
You know,
building that type of community trust is how we actually create safe communities. Right. And so, you know, what the federal ICE agents do, if they have, you know, a warrant, a criminal warrant, that you know, confirms that criminal warrant, that there is someone that's undocumented, that has committed a crime in the city of Chicago, we do cooperate in those circumstances. But just going from business to business or church to church or school to school, that is not a policy that we support.
And I should say, we don't know what led to this visit, but anecdotally, are you hearing that this is happening in Chicago too?
Well, what we do know that there are ICE agents that are showing up in spaces. We do know that, right? And again, if they show up with a criminal warrant, the body of government will cooperate in those instances. You know, as far as them going to businesses or door to door, we have not heard a lot of that. You know, when there was this, I guess, a lot of attention a couple of months ago, which, you know, the President Trump moved to deport people, you know, it was clear that there weren't this plethora of cases of outstanding individuals who have committed crimes that are in our region. So, you know, look, I think the most important thing for us is make sure that our local law enforcement, you know, maintains public trust. And we're seeing some positive results of that in the city of Chicago. Violence is down. over 23% overall violence is down in Chicago. Homicides are down 25%. Shooting victims are down 30%. Shootings are down over 30%. Robberies have hit a low that, you know, goes back decades. So the work that we're doing to build a safer city, we're seeing the manifestation of that work, and we're going to continue to make sure that our law enforcement has the support that they need and that our communities ultimately have the support that they need in order to create safe communities for everyone.
Steve pointed that out before you came on, that violence numbers are down, and that's what you ran on, so that's a win for you. Thank you for agreeing to do the town hall with WGN-TV. I'm excited to be a part of it, and we will see you on May 7th.
I look forward to it, y'all, and enjoy the rest of the day. Let's have a great weekend, and of course, go Cubs.